Hey, everybody, it's Favaz. Casey Tapes this week. We're going to do a repeat because I'm on vacation. You, man, is not in the building, so we can't record one for this week. But we're going to do a repeat of Brian May of Queen that we did, I think it's been like 3 years ago. So anyway, enjoy Brian May of Queen. It's Casey 95. It's the Casey Tapes.
These are the Casey Tapes. You, Man, and Favaz explore the backstories and interviews heard on Casey, the longest-running rock station in the country.
It's time for another edition of the Casey Tapes. I'm John Euland. You can follow me on Twitter at STLUMan.
Favaz, Casey Guy, and episode 14 is Brian May of Queen.
Brian May, one of the great guitarists of all time, needless to say, a man with his own sound, a brilliant individual.
He's an astrophysicist.
Yes, yes. Now, yeah, he didn't graduate from college. What was it? We were just looking this up recently when we were talking about rock stars who have graduated from college and how few of them there are.
Right.
And he, I think it's an honorary degree he has.
An honorary, because the things that I've been hearing lately, because China just landed an air, some kind of craft on the dark side of the moon. I don't know if he was involved with that, but his name kept coming up that he has been contributing to the study of that and whatever. And So I was like, huh. Brian May, who, I mean, I knew he was smart, but
yeah, I
didn't know he was that smart.
You know, he and, played in Steely Dan.
Fagan or Becker?
No. Skunk Baxter.
Jeff Skunk Baxter.
Yes.
Used to be in the Doobie Brothers.
Yes, yes. And he is a defense, nuclear defense specialist.
Is he still? Because I remember when he was. Years ago. I wonder if he was still...
And the U.S. government consulted with him. He was like an important dude.
He was always the guy in the Doobie Brothers that would sit down, play guitar, had real long hair, and had sunglasses on. Yeah. And here we are consulting with him. It's great.
So those are the two smartest guys I know in rock and roll history.
So, and the reason we're doing Brian May, this interview, which is from 2004, is because Bohemian Rhapsody just won the Golden Globe for Best Motion Picture, and Rami Malek, who portrayed Freddie Mercury in that film, won the Golden Globe for Best Actor. It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, you saw the movie. What did you think of it?
I gave it 4 out of 5 U-Mans. I thought it was good. Yeah, I mean, I thought, as I said on the air, I thought they had him a little overbucked. With his teeth. And then I saw him on the Golden Globes, and it's like...
Still bucky.
Yeah, they still didn't... They didn't have to overbuck him too much because he was already bucked.
Yeah, because he's constantly always wanting to close his mouth, purse his lips or whatever.
It looks kind of like the grandpa on The Simpsons? Kind of upper lip was always hanging over.
Yes, yes.
I don't know.
You know, and I thought that movie was good too, but I would have preferred the R-rated version of Queen. And I've said this on the air a million times. As good as a movie as it was, you know, Roger Taylor, the drummer, and Brian May, the producer, they didn't want to go that route. They wanted to go the route that they went. And, you know, I mean, look at the success they had. The Academy Awards are coming up. Who knows?
Right.
But what was really funny, and I don't know if you... did you watch the Golden Globes at all? Do you watch that kind of stuff?
Yeah.
So Sacha Baron Cohen, you know, he was there. He was originally cast as Freddie.
That's right.
And he didn't like the fact that this was going to be a PG version of Queen. So he was bumping heads with Brian May and everything. And boom, he got the boot. Rami Malek steps up, and then now he wins the Golden Glove. How crazy is that?
Yeah. Did the camera cut to
Sasha?
Mm-hmm. When Malek got the award, or no?
No.
No,
they
didn't.
But he was up for something else. I think he was up for his TV show.
Mm-hmm.
And but it was just funny that they were both there. In real close proximity to one another, along with Brian May and Roger Taylor. Now, I think Brian May looks like Beethoven.
Yeah, I know. His hair is all gray, but he's got it all still.
I know, he's got it all, but the way that it lays, I said to my wife while we were watching, I was like, Brian May looks like one of those judges from the 1700s with one of those fake wigs. He really does. And whereas Roger Taylor looks super cool, man.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got a mustache and beard and coiffed and everything. It's crazy the... I don't want to say a resurgence because Queen has always, you know, their music has been in advertising for a long time. It's out there right now. I just saw a commercial. I can't remember what it was, but this movie has just, you know,
yeah,
blown up for them and good for them.
Yeah, you know? And the debauchery part of it too. That some people say it's not wasn't
R-rated.
R-rated. We already know that stuff. I mean, if you read any of their books, any of the autobiographies, it's like, all right, I know it was sex and drugs. We get that. I wanted more of the substance of, you know, how the music was made and the way the band evolved and
I'm into
who had the input at this particular time or that particular time, a little bit of the romance,
but
a little
I love
bit
of sex, drugs and rock and roll. I love to hear about it. I love to read about it.
I know, but yeah. To me it would have gotten boring, I think.
Yeah. I don't know. They won the Golden Globe, so I have no room to speak.
You don't.
I should just shut up. So this interview is from 2004. It is Brian May calling in, and it was in support of the Queen musical at the time. Queen's music was put to a musical, and that's the reason he was calling. So here we go. Rock Radio KC95. That's Nickelback and Figured You Out. It's Favaz, and he's on the phone. And boy, I tell you, when I was told that I could interview Brian May of Queen, I was like, what is going on with Queen and stuff? But we're going to find out right now. Brian May, good afternoon.
Hello, Guy. How you doing?
I'm great. Where are you calling from today?
I'm in Los Angeles.
Are you?
And we just drove down from Las Vegas, where rehearsals have just started for We Will Rock You.
Yeah, let's first of all, we'll talk about that first. This is what's going on. We Will Rock You. It's a big hit musical based around Queen's music, and it's been playing in London's West End for 2 sold-out years, and now it's coming to America. It's going to Las Vegas at the theater at the Paris in Vegas.
I'm
correct.
I'm so happy.
what could it be about, Brian? I mean, I've read about it, but what is this whole thing about?
Well, it's the Queen musical, I guess, which has been in our minds for 30 years or so. It's incredible. I can't believe I'm saying this. The key to what it is that it's set in the future, and it's a story which is satirical and very funny. You know, it's a comedy, and it's also a big rock show.
A comedy.
You know, Brian May, I don't get that.
Yeah, I don't either.
But you hear Brian May, and you're like, I could never imagine him pissed off.
Yeah, he's always level. Yeah.
He's always just very, you know, very nice guy. And even the guy that played him in the movie, Bohemian Rhapsody, not only looks like Brian May, he sounded just like him, too.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Yeah, he's a proper Brit, if
yes.
you will. Yes.
And I think it's the first time that this has really been pulled off. It's a story about kids in the future who are unable to, they're not allowed to play rock music. You know, it's been banned. It's been long eradicated from culture. You know, people are just fed boy bands and girl bands and advertising and internet, and they think they're happy, but they don't know anything, you know. So this story is about a bunch of kids who decide they're going to rediscover the spirit of rock music. That's what the journey is.
Whose idea was that?
It was the idea of Ben Elton. Now, he's not so well known in this country, but I know there's a very big cult following for things like Blackadder and the Young Ones. He's a very well-known and very hugely successful comedy writer in England, has been for a number of years. He came up with the idea. He's a friend, and at a stroke, he eliminated all our previous attempts. We'd been working on scripts and workshops, mainly based on sort of Queen history, and this is not about Queen history. You know, this is about the future. And that's the key to how exciting it is.
Oh, I see. Well, that's so they're going to make it a comedy because it's not about Queen's past.
Right.
It was about their future at the time.
Right.
I don't know. How did that ever turn out?
I don't remember, yeah. To be honest, but I mean, I'm sure it was a hit. But before we did this recording of this podcast, I looked up to see how much Brian May is worth because it seems like it always comes up when we're talking about it. It just happened with Greg Allman. You want to take a guess at what Brian May, what he's could be worth? I mean, you know, I don't know how accurate these things are, but Greg Allman was only worth $15 million.
Right.
So what do you think Brian May of Queen is
Brian
worth?
Brian May, not heard much about his love life, so we don't know about divorces and things like that. So he's probably been very quiet in that regard. Seems like a guy who gets along with everybody, so he probably doesn't have much of an issue with women that may have taken half his earnings. And maybe rightly so. I don't know.
That's Jen's wife.
So I'm going to say $60 million.
Way low.
Way low.
Mm-hmm. Now, you have to consider all of the great Queen music, so he earned royalties off of that because he, you know, he had songwriting credits with Freddie and just about everything.
And when was this? When did you check?
I just checked yesterday.
Just yesterday.
Yeah.
Okay.
And all of the commercials that have Queen music and the musical, and I don't really think it counts the movie in there,
okay.
You know. So,
but it will someday.
Yeah.
$150 million.
You're close. $175 million.
Wow.
How about that?
Yeah. So then you got to wonder what the other guys in the band.
Well, Roger Taylor is just below him.
Is he?
Yes. He's like at 170, 165.
Yeah. And he's off the radar screen. You don't even hear him hardly ever
comment, Roger,
or anything.
Roger Taylor is the drummer. No, he comments. It's John Deacon who doesn't have anything to do.
Yeah.
He just wants to get paid.
Yeah.
He's like, you know, to Brian and Roger, go ahead and do what you want to do. That's cool. Just make sure I get my cut.
Right.
That's basically. And I didn't look him up. But
yeah. Let's look him up.
All right,
look him
go
up.
Ahead and press play.
Yeah, but even Roger Taylor, though, as the drummer, I mean, he's not the face of Queen this day anymore. It is Brian May.
So
he's kind of in the background
the ghost
there
of Freddie.
Earning the money.
Yeah. You know, they're going back out on tour this summer with Adam Lambert.
I wonder what he's getting.
He must be making some good money.
And what's the music like? I mean, there's a live orchestra? Or
it's a totally live band, who play the Queen songs. Everything's live. We have fantastic singers. In this case, it's an all-American cast, which we've personally auditioned all over the States. It's the creme de la creme of great singers, great young singers and actors, dancers. Such a powerful company. And the musicianship is already great.
I can only think that Freddie would be digging this big time.
Freddie would love it, yeah. He's up there with a big, big, wicked smile on his face, yeah.
Now, go ahead.
It's odd. You know, the story's set in the future, but as time goes on and you get to the second half, you realize that the clues that these kids are searching for have been left in the past, you know, by people who wanted things to be rediscovered. And so Queen has a part in this, as do, you know, a lot of other great rock artists. So there's a lot of rock history in here set in the future.
Once again, it's called We Will Rock You, musical based on Queen's music, and it will open September the 8th. Previews start August 16th, and this is at the Paris in Las Vegas. So if you're going, I'm going to give this phone number out real quick.
What year was this?
04.
04.
Oh, John Deacon is worth, you want to take a guess? Not as much as Roger Taylor.
Oh, you didn't say what Roger Taylor was worth.
Well, I said he's just below Brian May. Brian May is $175 million. I think Roger Taylor was $165, something like that. Okay. John Deacon.
$125.
Exactly.
Really?
That's it, yeah. And he's the guy that wrote the riff to Another One Bites the Dust.
There you go.
You know?
That's all it takes.
So they all contributed at some point, you know?
Get tickets for it. 877-ROCK-SHOW.
I don't know
rock
why.
877-ROCK-SHOW.
877-ROCK-SHOW.
That is awesome. So let's get to Jaguar here, Brian.
Yeah.
So many bands now these days in the last 10 years are really, you know, they're giving their music or selling their music to, you know, for products and things like that. I remember back in the 80s, you know, people like Mellencamp and Springsteen saying they would never do this.
Uh-huh.
Would Queen have given I'm in Love with My Car to Jaguar 20 years ago?
Interesting question. We were never too precious about such things, you know. I mean, obviously we care about the catalog and everything, but I think if somebody came up with something which had a sense of humor and a good spirit to it, usually we would say yes. I don't have this sort of attitude that you have to sort of preciously guard things, you know. I think the music is for the people, and if people want to take it up, it's a great compliment, you know, whether it's for a film score or TV series or an ad or whatever. Of course, there is a line which you don't want to go over. You don't want it to be trashed.
Sure.
But if people, you know, feel that it makes contact, then I think that's a great thing, you know, and it can trigger a whole new audience, you know, who will get into our stuff, and that can't be bad.
Absolutely, and that is exactly
true.
What has happened.
And with all the video games, you know, that have come out, Rock Band and guitar or whatever, you know, that's how people discovered a lot of this music. The younger crowd, you know, here all we had was radio to listen to.
It just happened to me recently. Cosmo Sheldrake was the artist and song Come Along in the Apple iTunes commercial.
Oh.
Or not iTunes, the Apple iPhone.
Or the watch or something like that, yeah.
I'd have never been exposed to that song if it weren't for that commercial,
right.
and I bought it.
Yeah.
So,
you know, but if I was a major artist and I had a song, I think I'd want to know in what context my song is going to be used. Now, with Queen and, you know, I'm in love with my car and it was going to be Jaguar, it's kind of obvious. But there are other issues, you know, or other songs out there that, you know, hey, they want to do your song. You're going to get a lot of money for it, you know, your copyright and whatever. But I'd want to know how it's going to be used.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
You know, and I wonder if they... if artists have a say, or at least do they give final approval or something?
I bet
like
they
that.
Do. So. I would imagine they do.
Oh, that's a good thing. And you know what I thought of.
Oh, wait, what's the phone number again?
Stop. I can't believe I gave out a phone number. I hate giving
Led
out
Zeppelin
phone numbers.
Rocket.
I hate giving out phone numbers on the air. It's just a waste of time. Because people aren't paying attention.
That's why I keep asking, what's that number?
Roll and the Cadillac campaign.
Oh, really? I didn't know about that either.
Oh, you didn't know? Oh, that's been going on for at least a year and a half, maybe 2 years. And now, you know, and I've been seeing the Jaguar commercials with I'm in Love with My Car. Of course, it was written by Roger Taylor. And it really fits well, I got to tell you. I mean,
I have to see this. We've only been in the States about 4 days, so I get to see these things. I hear there's the Viagra thing, too, going on.
With your music?
Yeah, apparently We're the Champions. He's on the Viagra.
Oh, I have seen that. Yes, I have. A guy comes like running out of his house, jumping up and down like he, you know, just got laid or something.
Everybody seems to have seen it,
Oh, God.
It's funny. I mean, Fred would have had a big, big
Oh, my God. Yeah, he would have definitely loved that one.
Why?
Viagra. That's what he said. And I mentioned Rock and Roll by Led Zeppelin was in the Cadillac commercials, and he didn't even know about it.
Yeah, maybe they don't run it by him. I don't know.
Oh, man.
You would think they would. And why do you think Freddie would have loved the Viagra so much?
Well, because he's a jokester. I don't know.
Yeah, he loved Viagra jokes.
Yeah.
Which he wasn't even around when he was alive.
And now I hear, finally, that We Will Rock You, or in conjunction with that, you guys are doing a complete update of your greatest hits album.
That's right, yeah. It'll be a new version, update, you know, high quality.
Is there a phone number we can get so we can get it?
Stop.
A couple of bonus tracks, including I'm in Love with My Car.
Right, with that one, and also Under Pressure.
Yeah.
And
a live version of Tie Mother Down from Milton Keynes, 1982.
So, and I know you've had a few greatest hits out. These things never get old to get put out, because it seems like the quality of the remastering, everything just gets better and better each time.
That's true, yeah. I don't know how much further it can go.
I know.
But this stuff sounds sensational now, I must say. Yeah, I'm very pleased with it.
Kind of seems uncomfortable talking about business to you, doesn't it?
You think so? I don't think so.
A little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, he's going along with it, but he doesn't want to offer more information than he needs to.
I don't know.
I think you should.
That's your opinion, John, not mine. Play the damn interview.
Are you surprised, Brian, by the influence that Queen still has today? I mean, what year did you guys start?
That's a good question.
Thank you.
About 1970.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems like another lifetime.
Yeah, I tell you, man.
Three lifetimes ago to me.
But did you ever think you'd still be having this influence? And certainly, I know you wouldn't think that you'd have a musical and things like that. But God, man, what a career you've had.
It's incredible. It's a dream. I wake up every morning and just think, how did we ever get this lucky? Obviously, we dedicate our lives to it. We love it, and we always have done. And there's a great commitment to excellence. And there's a certain, there's always been a certain, deep down belief that we had something special. But, kids have that.
Yes.
And I guess we still feel like kids. We still feel like there's something special. But there are moments when I think, my God, how did this happen? How did we get to this place where we fulfilled so many of our dreams?
I mean, that is amazing. When you think of the millions of people who had the same dream and it didn't work for them.
Not many achieved that dream. Yeah. And, We Will Rock You, We Are the Champions, is the most downloaded streamed song of the 20th century that was made in the 20th century. I don't know if you saw that recently.
No.
Most downloaded.
I thought Bohemian Rhapsody was.
No.
It's now We Will Rock You.
It's We Will Rock You.
Huh.
Yeah, and it's just... well, I don't know. Well, maybe it was Bohemian Rhapsody.
I would say on our morning show here in St. Louis on KC95, Learn and I were talking about this 5 years ago. I said, I wonder what our listeners think is the most iconic rock song at this particular moment in time. And we took a poll and we included Layla, Bohemian Rhapsody, Stairway to Heaven. What was it?
Free Bird. Did you put Free Bird
in there? Yeah, Free Bird was in there. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. Remember, Knights in White Satin by Moody Blues for a long time was considered one of those iconic songs. It's kind of fallen off the list now. But there was another one. Anyway, Bohemian Rhapsody won, and you stop
Think
about it now. Take out all this movie stuff, because that wasn't even talked about 5 years ago. For Bohemian Rhapsody to have surpassed every other iconic rock song on the list by the Stones, by the Beatles, by Led Zeppelin, by everybody, is who saw it coming?
Yeah.
Because it's a weird song.
It is a strange, it's a song that was too long, and the record company thought it was too long, and they didn't want to put it out.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I do think it was We Will Rock You because of the sports and the stadiums.
Yeah.
You know, everybody plays it. I think that's one of the reasons that it was one of the most, or the most downloaded 20th century song.
Yeah.
I don't know. But now with the movie and everything, Bohemian Rhapsody, Queen is hotter than they've ever been.
Yeah. Probably. And one of the first times that We Are the Champion was used, because that came out 79, maybe, something like 78, 79.
News of the World, was that 76? I don't remember.
No. It was late 70s.
It was.
So when the Cardinals won the World Series in 1982, we played it at Busch Stadium on the PA back then. And it wasn't
along
new.
With Celebration,
it wasn't new.
From Cool and the Gang.
Yeah, there was that too. But when they actually won it that night, we played it.
That's amazing. What's going on with you musically or the rest of the guys? Or planning on anything or anything like that?
Sorry?
Planning on doing anything? Or?
Well, you know, this takes up so much of my life at the moment. This is full-time, you know, producing this musical and musically directing it, etc. At the moment, we're putting on Vegas. We're also putting on Moscow, the same, you know, but a different version of the same show, and also Cologne in Germany. Next year, we're going to do a touring version in the States and open in Toronto. So, you know, this is really full-on, full-time. I've never worked so hard in my life.
Now, will you ever be playing with them?
Occasionally, I get up. Yeah. If it's a special occasion, like an anniversary or something, I will get up and I will do an appearance, you know, an apparition or something. And it's great. It's a great buzz for me. But, you know, the show doesn't need me. That's the great thing. You know, it's a nice bonus, and I can go there, and it's a good boost for morale.
Well, I'm sorry, Brian, but you have one of the most unique guitar tones in the world, and I find it very difficult, and I'm sure whoever is playing or is doing your stuff is quite good, but I find it very difficult to believe that anybody could replicate what you do.
Well, the great thing is they don't have to replicate. It's not a copy band situation. It's not a tribute band here. It's a real band, and yes, there are certain disciplines. You know, sometimes there's pieces of guitar harmony, like the Killer Queen solo, which you want to do. But basically, those guitarists are there to be themselves and to play with their own passion, their own commitment, and their own style. So, you know, there isn't that problem. And you know, my stuff's not difficult. You know, nothing I play has been that difficult. You know, they can do it, and they can bring something new to it, and that's a joy to me. If I go, you know, I go a lot to all the shows that we've put on, and every night there's something that one of the players will pull out of the bag, and I think, yeah, great. You know, these people are still alive and thinking, and this is not a piece of kind of dead, mummified history. You know, this is a living, breathing piece of work.
I tell you, he has been a very good salesman for this particular project.
Yeah.
And I know there's a lot of interest in Queen, and it has been for a long time. I still have no interest in seeing a musical about the future with Queen involved. That didn't get me at all.
I can't say it does, but he sounds extremely humble.
Oh, no doubt about that.
It's just, and you know, and I think about the movie about how Freddie, you know, came up to both of them in the alley after their singer quit. You know, is that the way that it really started?
Yeah.
You know, that's the, you know, we hadn't, the movie was 14 years away from being produced. So, you know, I couldn't
well, they
ask
consulted
that
on the movie, so it had to be some truth in it.
I guess.
Yeah. Man. How much more here?
I don't know.
It's a great way to look at it. When is the Greatest Hits coming out? Do you know?
Next month, as far as I know.
Next month.
Yeah.
All right, and we'll be listening and watching the Jaguar commercials. And once again, We Will Rock You, hit musical that's been playing in London now. It's based around Queen's music. We'll start in Las Vegas at the Paris Hotel, which is just an awesome place. And it will start September 8th, preview start August 16th. And if you're going out to Vegas, you got to go. 877-ROCK-SHOW.
Phone
877-ROCK-SHOW.
Yeah, thanks.
Phone Brian number. May, thank you for phoning today, and it was an honor to talk to you.
Great pleasure. Thanks very much for your support.
All right. I'm going to play Dragon Attack now. What do you remember?
Oh, yeah.
He talks about Dragon Attack.
About that song.
Ah.
Anything special?
Very proud of that song. I remember a time when the album had just come out and the Stones had just put out an album. And I remember sort of pressing the button in my car driving around the States. L.A., actually, I think. and you know, hearing loads of Stones tracks and hearing Dragon Attack a lot of the time. Thinking, yeah, God, you know, we're part of life here. That's the great thing, to be part of the pulse of life.
That is too cool. That's a great explanation. All right, here it is, Dragon Attack. Brian, thanks again.
Okay, very good.
Yeah.
That's it.
Dragon Attack, great Casey classic.
Oh, yeah, I love that song.
Yeah.
So there you go. We got the phone numbers out and everything, and it was a good interview for Boz.
Brian May, I listen to him, and he's such a monster on guitar, like that tone. I mean, yeah. Anytime, you don't even need to hear Freddie sing, if it's a less popular song, once he starts playing guitar, you know it's a Queen song.
Yeah.
You know.
And as Queen always put on their albums back in the day, no synthesizers.
Yeah.
I mean, they did it with just production and just sheer talent. And
if you haven't seen the movie, go see it. Or it should be out on, you know, Netflix and all that soon. But if you're a Queen fan and you haven't seen it, go see it.
Yeah. Yep. I guess he's in his early 70s now. Is that the case?
I have not looked. I have, but
he seems healthy, and that's good. That's
and he's
good
worth $175
well.
million, so there.
That makes life a little easier, doesn't it? All right, Queen. Freddie Mercury gone for what, like 30 years now?
Almost
30 years. That's amazing.
Yeah.
But Queen still lives on.
Yep. Thank you, Brian May. Episode 14.
Thanks for listening. I'm John Hewlett. You can follow me on Twitter at STLUMan.
Favaz, Casey Guy.
Adios.
Adios, motherfucker.
Man, you are bad.
I know.
The KC Tapes with you, man, and Favaz. For more on the history of KC, go to KC95.com or the KC mobile app.